Blog Talk Radio.
All right, looks like we're having some technical difficulty with the intro music here, but we'll get right into it. So we're back, Sportsaholics 24/7, coming to you live on this Friday afternoon. We've got a great show for you today. I'm your host, Jordan, joined by my co-hosts, John and Nick. How's it going, guys?
Going pretty good.
Going good.
All right, so today we'll be discussing the NFL, some MLB playoffs, and college football season, basically at the midway point right now. And if you want to call in and voice your opinion, the number is 347-884-8496. That's 347-884-8496. So we'll start today, as we usually do, with the Jets, Jets. And usually we kind of go off on the Jets, so I think we'll be keeping it a bit short. We all know what's going on with them, sitting at 1-4. Just complete disaster, first 5 games of the season. And we got the Broncos coming up on Sunday, followed by a short week against Thursday night in New England. So really not looking good right now. We'll start with you, Nick. What do you think about the Jets right now?
Well, it's already safe to say they're not going to make the playoffs. They don't have a quarterback. They don't have an offensive coordinator. And they have the worst GM in all of football who picked a horrible team. And Rex Ryan is once again losing in unwinnable situations.
Well, obviously, definitely agree with all those points. And something I thought, kind of discussed this before, but something I think is really interesting is the situation between the front office, between Woody Johnson, John Idzik, and Rex Ryan. Usually when a GM comes in, their first goal is to pick their own guy. They want their own quarterback. They want their own head coach. And last season, I think it was the decision to bring back Rex after missing the playoffs for a third straight year was really on Woody Johnson. He really loves Rex Ryan. But what John is, you know, I don't know if there's much proof behind this, but something interesting to think about is the Jets had a lot of money to spend, and they really didn't besides Eric Decker. And do you think there's any possibility that John Idzik set up this team to have another bad season, buy another year for Geno and fire Rex at the end of the season so that he could bring in his new guy? I mean, I'm not saying that's definitely true, but I think there's something behind that.
Here's the thing. It's interesting to think about. I think it would lean more towards no, because John Idzik has never been a general manager before. But I would have to say that his job was basically guaranteed. Nobody fires a GM after 2 years. So he knew he was going to get his job back, and he just didn't care. He didn't bring in any receiving weapons. Look at it just now. They have no deep threats at the receiver position. They draft Jalen Saunders. What happens? He gets cut. They get Jacoby Ford. Why would they get Jacoby Ford? He received for 99 yards last year and didn't score any touchdowns. He was never anything special. And the only good pickup they had was Eric Decker. The only reason why John Idzik, quote-unquote, stacked up the offense. The fans knew that the team needed receivers, and he wanted to shut them up. You're a delusional Jets fan who thought that he was doing a good job. And number one pick could have gotten Brandon Cooks to Calvin Pryor. Stupid. Yeah.
Well, that really showed on this past week in San Diego. I think in all my years being Jets fan, that might have been the most pathetic offensive performance I have ever seen. And we'll move on pretty quickly, but John, do you have anything to add about the current state of the Jets?
Yeah, you know, I don't think that there's like any conspiracy theory in terms of John Idzik wanting to get rid of Rex Ryan, because John Idzik, he's an employee of the Jets. He wants the Jets to win, okay? It's as simple as that. He's not going to try to do anything to hurt the team. And it's going to be tough. They just brought in a new GM. You cannot expect results right away. That just doesn't happen. And in terms of free agency, I know Nick's complaining, oh, they didn't throw any money to anyone. Whatever, it doesn't really matter. I mean, they're still the Jets. It's not like people are flocking to come play for the Jets. And it's tough to turn that around. I think the only way to turn around the stigma surrounding the Jets is to draft good players and build the team through the draft. And then once you start winning some games, once you start making the playoffs a few years in a row, the big-time free agents are going to realize, hey, maybe I should look at the Jets instead of looking at the Seahawks or the Patriots or any of these teams that tend to win a lot.
All right. Yeah. No, you're right. But here's the thing. The Jets are $21 million under the cap. There's no reason why they couldn't have signed Hakeem Nicks or re-signed Cromartie or have gotten Revis. Not all three of those, I get that. But to at least build on the team with some experience, you can't build on a team solely off of draft picks.
Do you think that those signings would have made the Jets that much better? I don't think so. I don't
think
so.
Would have made them a hell of a lot better. You're telling me that are you going to tell me that if Cromartie weren't at corner instead of Darren Walls, the team wouldn't be better?
I think, John, to your point, I mean, the Jets are always going to be the Jets, but at the same time, they're still playing one of the biggest markets. I mean, I think a lot of free agents are attracted to playing right outside of New York City. I think the mindset of the Jets has been to build through the draft. They've had some good picks the past few years, Quinton Coples, Muhammad Wilkerson, Sheldon Richardson. But as you can see, those are all defensive players. The defense can be really good, and the run defense has been, I think at this point, top two or three in the league. But without an offense, I mean, their offense right now is probably the worst in the league. It's just pathetic. Their running game is average at best. They got arguably the worst starting quarterback in the league. They got no receivers since Eric Decker was hurt. And it's not looking good for them right now.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. I think that in terms of the Jets drafting, you made a great point by saying the Jets have drafted pretty well on the defensive side of the ball. But the most important position in football is the quarterback, and they've really struggled in the draft with quarterbacks. You look at Sanchez. Now you look at Geno. It's tough to pick a good quarterback. You don't know how they're going to turn out, but mm-hmm. I mean, we'll see how the Jets do in this year's draft.
I think a lot of the frustration from the Jets fans has been that, you know, this season, the AFC East is not what it has been in the past, especially with New England. I mean, they shut a lot of people up this past week, but I'm not convinced yet that they're still the same New England Patriots that they have been. So I think a lot of the frustration is coming over the fact that the AFC East is a winnable division for the first time in 2 years. And the Jets have just been at their worst that we've seen in a while. And I think I don't think we want to get too off topic here, so we'll move on from the Jets to the other New York team, the Giants, sitting at 0-2 after 2 weeks. A lot of people already counting them out. Philly at that point was 2-0 and then 3-0. And they really turned it around now on a 3-game winning streak. Big game this Sunday night in Philadelphia for first place in the division. Nick, how are the Giants able to turn it around?
Well, a lot of it was just getting into the swing of things, getting the offense used to everything. There's no reason why the team couldn't have been better. I like their receiving threats a lot. The addition of an Odell Beckham was excellent. Eli Manning, the two-time Super Bowl winner. And basically the problem was, what happened? They were starting the game off slow by running the ball. The offensive line wasn't protecting Eli. The running game didn't work. It spiraled over into the passing game. The passing game never worked, and nothing worked. Now, at least, the offensive line, they're protecting Eli. Rashad Jennings, even though he's hurt, when he did play, he started picking up more yards. Then they started using Andre Williams, and he's shown that he's NFL material. Not great, but he's NFL material. Larry Gunnell's been proficient. Reuben Randle's been better, and now they have Odell Beckham, and don't forget Mr. Cruz, with a two-time Super Bowl-winning quarterback. He's a shell of his former self, but they could still win.
All right, so good points there on the Giants. And before we move on to John, we got a caller holding on the line. We'll put him on right now. Welcome to Sportsaholics. What's your name? Hello? Hello.
I don't know who that was.
All right. We lost that.
You can call back if you want to call back anytime.
Yes, call back. The number is 347-884-8496. So, John, do you have anything to add on about the Giants right now?
Yeah, I touched on it a little last episode. I talked about how rhythm is so important in football. And the Giants have just gotten into a nice little rhythm. They've won three in a row. They're getting momentum. They're playing their type of football. They're getting comfortable with things. And I think that they're doing that by playing just smart football. They're playing solid defense. Eli Manning has really been impressive lately. And like Nick said, their receiving corps is great. Victor Cruz, now Odell Beckham Jr. I like how they're playing right now. And going into this game against the Eagles for first place in the division, it's going to be a hostile environment. I really want to see how Eli Manning, if he's able to maintain his composure, and I think that he will be because he's a very experienced quarterback. He's played in these situations before. It should be fun to watch.
Right, and I think the main thing for the Giants is that when they were 0-2, I mean, last year we saw them at 0-6 to start the year, and something they didn't do this year was they didn't panic. They had that game against the Texans at home where they really played a great game of football, even though things weren't really going their way prior to that. And I thought they made some good – I think last year, before the season, they didn't do anything in the offseason. This year they made some good moves. I think Rashad Jennings is turning out to be a great signing. And I don't know if they're a playoff team. I think the NFC overall is much better than the AFC, and that's going to be really tough to make the playoffs there, and especially considering – you got 2-4-1 teams in your division with the Eagles and the Cowboys. It's going to be tough for the Giants, but I think coming down the stretch of the season, they'll definitely be there, and I think they'll have a shot. All right, so we're going to move on for now. We'll go into the MLB playoffs right now, entering the NLCS and the ALCS. Tonight, game one between the Orioles and the Royals. Nick, actually last week, predicted the Angels and Dodgers would be moving on. That didn't turn out. I thought the Angels would move on from the AL. Obviously, didn't work out. Got swept by the Royals. Really just an incredible story by Kansas City. Not making the playoffs in 29 years. Just everyone's really happy for their fans there. But overall, it's going to be the Cardinals against the Giants in the NL. And that winner will play the winner of the Orioles and the Royals in the AL. We'll start with you, John. What are your thoughts on the playoffs so far?
You know, I love this Royals team. I predicted that the Royals were going to make it to the World Series, and I still stand by that prediction very much. I think that this series coming up against the Orioles is very winnable for them because the Orioles are a team that, you know, they beat up in a pretty weak AL East. And, yeah, they have some nice players, but I just really like the way that the Royals are playing now. I still think they're going to make the World Series.
All right, that's a nice prediction by John. Nick, what do you think?
I'm sorry. I really, truthfully, I hope I'm wrong, but deep down in my heart, I see the Orioles winning. Mainly because of this. I like the Orioles hitting better. They have Nelson Cruz. They have Adam Jones. While the Royals, they're not bad, but they don't have as much power to their lineup as the Orioles do. They don't have a Nelson Cruz. They don't even have an Adam Jones, quite frankly. They're a good average hitting team. But in the postseason, and I really truly believe that the Orioles they can beat the Royals pitching.
Well, here's what I'll take away from – if I'll take away one thing from the first round of the playoffs, it's that the Orioles really surprised a lot of people. I think going into that series with the Tigers, if you look at that starting rotation that the Tigers put out there, Justin Verlander, Max Scherzer, and David Price, those are three aces. Those are three number one guys. I'm not talking you got one number one guy that you can give the ball to and he'll be your ace, and then you got two or three guys who are going to be top of the order type of guys. No, those are three legit Cy Young candidate year after year starting pitchers. I mean, those were the three past Cy Young winners in the AL. Those are guys you could give the ball and you could say, get me 7-8 innings and turn it over to the closer, and they can easily shut down the opposing team. And with the Orioles, with all their injuries to Manny Machado and the suspension to Chris Davis and the injury to Matt Wieters, I think they really shocked a lot of people. I did not see that coming at all. And truthfully, I think right now I'm sold on Baltimore. As much as I love the story of the Royals and I think they're going to put up a fight, I think Baltimore will advance to the World Series. So we got our predictions for the AL. Now what's going on in the NL? Nick, who do you like in this series, the Giants or the Cardinals?
I would have to say the Giants. Because here's the thing with the Giants. This is what I love about the Giants. Their pitching, it may not be the best in baseball, but as of now, if there's not one hole in that bullpen, and I don't see them breaking down. Now I could have said the same thing about the Cardinals when they played the Dodgers. But as of now, I really, and not only that, but the Giants hit great in the postseason. Pablo Sandoval is not the best hitter in the regular season, but in the postseason, he can hit anything. You can't even intentionally walk him because the guy hits everything. He's a great bad pitch hitter, covers great range at the plate, and has great power. And he's protected by Buster Posey and Hunter Pence. I see them doing damage to that pitcher, even though they have Wainwright and everything. I don't think they'll be able to beat Wainwright, but I think it could be any other pitcher on the Cardinals roster.
And, Nick, that's really an excellent point. I think going into the playoffs, in my opinion, I would say the Dodgers and the Nationals were the two most talented teams in the NL. But I actually predicted this San Francisco-St. Louis NLCS because over the past 4 or 5 years, these have been the two best teams in the league at winning in October. They know how to get it done. They just keep grinding. They know how to win in playoff baseball. And at the end of the day, my prediction for the NLCS is going to be San Francisco set up a Giants-Orioles World Series. And, John, what do you think? Do you see the Giants or Cardinals coming out on top?
I see the Cardinals coming out on top. They play great baseball late in the season, as do the Giants. But I think this season it's going to be the St. Louis Cardinals against the Kansas City Royals. The battle for Missouri.
All right, so there you have it. John going with Cardinals in Kansas City, and me and Nick are going to pick the Giants and the Orioles. All right, so we got about 12 minutes to go on the show now. Didn't know who called before, but if you want to call back, and for any other of our listeners, the number to call in is 347-884-8496. That's 347-884-8496. You can ask us anything about the NFL, the MLB, college football, anything that's going on right now, or just voice your own opinion. So now entering the final part of our show, we'll be discussing college football, entering week 7, which is pretty amazing to think about, about halfway through the regular season right now. We'll start with big discussion always in college football is the Heisman candidate, the Heisman candidates and the Heisman winner. I think the past few years we've really seen, you know, Jameis Winston and Johnny Manziel. Those are big-time players. So you pretty much knew at some point late in the season that those were going to be the guys. I don't think that at this point in the season you can really – there's not that one player who everyone is pointing to as the Heisman. But we'll start with you, John. If you had to give me a few players right now who you're thinking about who could potentially come away with the Heisman this year.
All right, well – before yesterday, when we found out that Todd Gurley suspended indefinitely, and now it's coming out that he might be out for the rest of the season, before that, I really thought that Gurley was the guy for the Heisman. It was pretty clear. But now, considering the fact that he might be out for the season, I'm looking at a few guys right now. I'm looking at Dak Prescott, starting quarterback, Mississippi State. I like Nick Marshall from Auburn, starting quarterback. I also like Melvin Gordon from Wisconsin. I think those three guys are three very impressive players. As of right now, though, my favorite is Dak Prescott. Here's why. He's taken a Mississippi team that's been average at best in the SEC recently. He plays in a very unique offense. They run the option, but they throw the ball a lot, too. And he has absolutely dominated. It was very impressive. It's been very impressive how he's been playing so far this season. And now they're ranked number three in the country. And I think that if he could take them to the BCS championship game anymore, but the college football playoff, if he can lead them there, that'll be an incredible feat. So I really like Dak Prescott. He's my favorite now.
All right, and what about you, Nick? What do you think?
Well, before I would have said Todd Gurley. He's the best running back in the game right now. I would have to either go with Dak Prescott or possibly Amir Abdullah, I think, has a legitimate chance. He can absolutely tear it up. If he can absolutely tear it up at Nebraska, without question, this is definitely a great shot. But it's so hard to predict right now.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know who's going to break
exactly.
out. You don't know who's going to get suspended. You don't know who's going to get hurt. You can't predict it. But if Todd Gurley weren't suspended, I would say Todd Gurley in a heartbeat.
Right, I definitely have to agree with you. Todd Gurley, running back for Georgia, was having an incredible season before we came out with the news recently that he will be suspended. I think he was
supposedly
most people's favorites, but now it's up in question. So I think looking at the college football season as a whole, what really stands out was last week, really. I think in terms of upsets, last week was truly amazing. You got so many big teams going down. I think in total it was 12 out of the top 25 teams that lost. We're now looking at Florida State as only the really true team that's been there the whole season, and Auburn, too, at number two. That was the title game last year. So got a lot of surprise teams, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, Baylor still there. Right now, go back to you, Nick. Besides Florida State and Auburn at top, who do you like as the two teams that you could see joining them in the playoff come January?
I think one of my top picks is going to be Mississippi State. I love Dak. I love the way Dak Prescott's been playing. I love their offense. And most important of all, I love their defense. The defense is very underrated.
All right, so you think Mississippi State came up with a big win against Texas A&M. Just watching that game, it was really incredible how they moved the ball on offense, just methodically jogging down the field each time, first down after first down. They really impressed me. And they jumped all the way from 12 to 3, and they really look like arguably one of the best teams in the country right now. So we'll go over to John. What do you think? I think most people can agree that Florida State and Auburn should be there at number one and number two. And then who do you see as the next couple teams behind them?
All right, a team I really like that a lot of people are not talking about is TCU. They have a huge matchup against Baylor this weekend in Waco, Texas. And I think that this TCU team, if they can get by Baylor and pull off that upset, you know, right now TCU is sitting at number 9 in the polls. I think that if they can beat Baylor, they can easily win out the rest of their schedule. Here's the rest of their schedule. They have Baylor this weekend. They have Oklahoma State, Texas Tech, then at West Virginia. That game could be interesting. They have Kansas State at home. They play at Kansas, at Texas, and then they finish the season at home against Iowa State. That's not a very difficult schedule, and I definitely think that they will beat Baylor this weekend just because Baylor has not had that strong of a schedule. In terms of a fourth team, it's really tough. I do like the way that Notre Dame is playing so far, and they have North Carolina this weekend. That Florida State game is huge. That could be the biggest game this season overall. So I as of now, I like the top two teams, and then I like TCU, and I also like Notre Dame.
I definitely agree with that, Sean. I think as much as it kills me to say it, I think Notre Dame is right now sitting at 5-0. I think they're probably top four team in the country right now. Came up with a big win against Stanford. I noticed one team that no one mentioned, still undefeated, is Arizona. I mean, last week they were unranked. They came into Oregon, where nobody wins in Oregon at night. And they pulled off a massive upset. Marcus Mariota may have destroyed his chances at the Heisman. And I noticed neither of you mentioned Arizona. What do you think about them in the Pac-12 right now? And probably the biggest surprise team of the season.
I'm going to tell you right now, bold prediction, Arizona will lose this weekend to USC. I have no doubt in my mind. Arizona head coach Rich Rodriguez is notorious for losing these big games. And I like how they played against Oregon, but I think that they're going to struggle a little throughout the rest of the season. I think that they're going to lose to USC this weekend.
Possibly.
All right, so John's thinking it's a letdown game for Arizona.
There's a very good chance that would happen, but I'm going to be honest. I don't love the USC team. Most of all, Cody Kessler sucks. He's probably listening right now and he's mad. But I'm telling you right now, Cody sucks. He's horrible. One of the worst quarterbacks I've ever seen play at USC.
Nick, that's not true. I don't think that's true because he hasn't been over the top. He's not been great. Like, there have been many great USC quarterbacks, and he is surely not one of them. But you cannot say that he's a terrible quarterback. He's a game manager. Yeah, but you can't go by USC standards. It's this season. It's the 2014 season. And right now, their quarterback is Cody Kessler. He's a game manager. They have a nice defense. If they can force some turnovers against Arizona, it'll be fun to watch. Again, that's so many great games this weekend, and that's one of them.
He is very lucky he has Buck Allen. Because, you know what, here's the thing with Cody Kessler. And I'm sure if you watch USC, you'll know what I'm talking about. I get it. He's a smart quarterback. He's a game manager. But in terms of physical talent, I'm not sold on him. He's not going to make it in the NFL. And he can't throw the ball deep. They play the type of offense where they just throw quick, short passes. And a lot of these receivers, like Juju Smith, is a deep threat.
Yeah, but listen, we're not focusing on the whole season for USC. We're talking about this weekend against Arizona. USC is going to go on the road and play against 13th-ranked team in the country, undefeated, team that just came off a huge win against Oregon. I think Arizona is going to come out slow. USC is going to be fired up. Because it's not very often that you see USC as an underdog to Arizona. And that's embarrassing for USC. They're not going to lose. I'm telling you right now, they're not going to lose.
I mean,
I just wish
they could stretch the field better. I get Cody Kessler's quarterback, but you know what? Because he's so smart, if he actually had an arm, USC's offense would be dominated with Aguilar and Juju Smith. It's that simple.
All right, and really quickly, we got about a little over 2 minutes to go on the show. I'll go to Nick first and then John. If you were to give me one player and one team, now the opposite of this, that has been the biggest disappointment this year, who would be that player and who is that team? Nick, what do you think?
In college football, the biggest disappointment so far.
I have mine.
All right, you say it. I can't think of one. I got to think of one.
This is easy. First, we'll start off with the player. Devin Gardner, quarterback for the University of Michigan, and his team, the Michigan Wolverines.
Oh, yeah.
They have a big game this weekend at home against my Penn State Nittany Lions, so I'm hoping that Michigan continues their struggles. But Devin Gardner, throughout his years at Michigan, I have not seen him progress at all. That might not be his fault. That could be the coaching staff's fault. But he has stayed the same, possibly even gotten worse. He has terrible decision-making. They just lost to Rutgers, at Rutgers. They're 2-4 right now. If they don't win this game, you got to wonder about Brady Hoke's job security. So Devin Gardner and the Michigan Wolverines, most disappointing player and team this season.
And someone else or another team that you'd like to add?
I'm actually going to have to go with John on this. Michigan has actually completely escaped my mind. There's no reason why Michigan shouldn't be a much better team than they already are. They lost to Rutgers. Brady Hoke's job is in jeopardy because of Shane Morris supposedly playing with a concussion and all this fiasco. They're a complete wreck there, and they're not going anywhere this season. I'm giving up.
I have another team too, quickly. I think the Florida Gators and quarterback Jeff Driskel, very disappointing.
Jeff Driskel's hard.
All right, so there you have it, your disappointments of the year. That's just about going to do it for our show. We'll keep you updated on future shows. Have a good weekend. Go Rangers, 1-0 season, and happy Sukkot.
Yeah.